Hi, Ella.
Hello, Deborah.
You're really rocking these days, Ella.
She is.
Well, it's my second course doing this.
It's all right.
It's a hard rocking. Course.
You're rocking.
All right, so welcome, everyone. It's just Deborah and Ella today, or at least so far. Sherry told me she was running late. I was telling Ella, she said that she had some kind of a issue with her computer, and her husband was trying to help her actually retrieve information. So she said once she had it retrieved, she'd be here. And hopefully some other people show up too. We have some who really aren't coming anymore. But anyway, doesn't matter. You all are here, and I'm here to answer your questions. So welcome to our May 15th Author of Change Transformational Coaching Program. As always, it's your time. I'd love to hear how you're doing with the assignments. And to start there with just questions related to the assignments. And if you don't have any, then to go on. But since we're just two of you, let's just do, like we did last time, a check-in. How's it all going? And what are you accomplishing? And then I guess you can tell me what you're struggling with or have questions about.
Well, I'm moving ahead slowly. But I would like for you to talk about the change.
What do you mean the change?
Change. What am I an author of change? I'm not going to do video today.
Okay.
I can't. But I'm having a hard time relating to my message being an author of change. What am I changing?
What do you see as your message? Let's start there.
Okay. You always ask me when I don't have it off the tip of my tongue, and so that's really a bad thing because I should have my pitch and I should have all that stuff rocking in my head.
Well, first of all, don't beat yourself up for that because I can't always rattle off a pitch. You know, maybe ask me the pitch for Creative Visualization for Writers or the Author Training Manual. I'd have a hard time rattling it off without really spending time memorizing it and all those things. That said, you should be able to tell me, to some extent, what your message is. What is it that you're trying to say with your book?
I'm trying to reach families and caregivers to support them in their journey to care for those with dementia and memory impaired diseases.
Okay. And what's the difference you want to try to make in their lives?
I don't know. I don't really think in those terms. I think of being supportive and giving information, giving encouragement, telling my story that maybe they would be inspired and comforted to do what they have to do every day.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, what has come to my mind in the last few days as I've thought about this change thing and how it's not making sense to me in my case, is families characteristically have at least one member that is in denial. Okay, so if my message goes out to a family member that has denial that helps them come to grips with reality, then that's a change.
Yes.
The caregivers and the family members that are caring for their afflicted member, they don't really need change. They need support. They need encouragement. They need information. They need a sense of, hey, I'm not going this alone. There's others that have gone before me, and I can keep going forward. There is a community, and I can keep going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the change then?
The change then is that you are reaching out almost like on a one-on-one basis, right?
Uh-huh.
With caregivers and saying and helping them go from discouragement, feeling alone, struggling, all those things, to feeling as if there is a community out there, that there is somebody who understands their struggle, and helping them feel more inspired, more supported, all those things. So when you think about one-on-one change, you know, it's different than a movement. On the other hand, Deborah, I mean, I can't remember, Ella, were you in the same session with Pam? Because Pam was dealing with dementia, a book on dementia.
Yes.
Yeah. So see, it's a very, I mean, I don't want to say common, like your book is too common. I'm not saying that at all, but it's a common issue out there.
Right.
And you addressing the issue and offering your tips, your strategies, your support, your inspiration and motivation, you make a change in somebody's life who is caregiving. Maybe it's not a movement, but on the other hand, if you look at how, you're probably the third person I know who's writing a book related to dementia or caregiving.
Yeah.
I mean, just in the last year, because this is a major issue.
Yeah, it
is. So when you have a major issue out there and you're writing because of that issue, maybe you don't see it as a movement, but it's definitely something that is supporting people and helping them approach their situation in a different way. They're looking for answers and strategies and solutions and support and all those things. And when you give that to them, they're able to make a difference in somebody. You make a difference in their life, and they make a difference in somebody else's life.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And if you want to see it as a bigger picture, then see it as a, some sort of a movement or cause that relates to helping caregivers. Like, I could see, a website or forum or something where, you are gathering a community.
Uh-huh.
So that they have a way to be supported and to get, to share resources and all of those things. So then, maybe that's not a movement per se, but on the other hand, it's a, as more and more of us are having to care for our parents, it's a fact of life. And so if you're able to really give sound advice to people or support, then to me, that's maybe not a movement, but it is change. It is supporting others so that they can then support those they care for. And so again, if you're changing somebody's life so that they have an easier time helping somebody else, then that's definitely a chain of change.
Okay. The other thing that I am aware of is that it changes the life of the cared for.
Yes.
Because when the caregiver is not in tune, then they're neglected. I mean, plain and simple. They're neglected, or there's just something lacking. Mm-hmm. So if the caregiver is more supported and is more knowledgeable, you'd be amazed. You would be amazed out there how many caregivers haven't got a clue. They haven't
exactly
got a clue how to talk to them. They haven't got a clue what they need. They are not thinking in a way of, gee, if that was my mom, or if I was in that bed right now, what would I need? I mean, it's just, actually, it's very deplorable. It's just awful. I mean, we are going through that right now, where we had to move mom, and the first 3.5 weeks she was neglected and just forgotten about. And it's just, things are a little better now, so it's not as traumatic over here. But my goodness, it's like, wake up, you guys. You got lives on your deck.
And you're talking about professional caregivers, right?
I'm talking about professionals.
Yeah. So, see, to me, when you talk like that, the amount of passion you have, that's like, hey, I want to create change in how we treat the elderly.
Okay, that's well put.
Okay, so, you know, that would be easy to say. It's my mission to change how the elderly are cared for and treated, whether it's by their family, whether it's by the professional caregivers, or whether it's by society. We need to change how we deal with the elderly.
Right.
That's an important change.
Yes, it is. It really is.
And I can hear the passion in your voice, and I bet Ella can hear it too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're uncovering a huge thing. This is huge. And it's great. Thank you very much.
Okay. So uncovering a huge thing because you're clear now on your mission, or what exactly?
Yes, I'm more clear on my mission. Okay. I'm not, it's wonderful. It's, yes, I'm passionate about it. Yeah, I've got a lot of energy for it, but it's more negative, and that I'm not enthused about. It's been really traumatic over here, but yeah. I mean,
okay, but it doesn't have to be negative. You're looking at the problem. The solution is positive.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So you want to focus on that.
And the burden that I feel for this book is it has to all be positive. Doesn't matter how negative the situation is, it has to all, the whole writing, everything has to be positive for the receiver, yes. for the reader.
Well, yeah, because you can't have somebody say, hey, here's this book, you know, to a caregiver, here's this book, you know, you're caring for my mom or my dad, and I need you to read this book, and have it be totally judgmental of them, right?
Or no.
It has to be, here are the issues that the elderly have, you know, and this is how you talk to the elderly, behave around the elderly, care for the elderly in such a way that they feel respected, their needs are met, you know, whatever it is. That's way more positive.
Right.
Yeah, so you're on the right track. But it's it's a book that's very necessary. And like I said, I mean, I'm going to try to hook you up with these other two people. And one is dealing with dementia, and the other one just with basically the caregiving of her dad. But she's writing a book. She's a lawyer and was Terry in your group too, Ella?
Oh, I'm not very good with names, but I remember I was in a conversation with three caregivers at once a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so I can't remember. Anyway, Terry is a lawyer, but she works with the family. Like, she goes in and talks about, you know, the need for estate planning and the need for this and the need for that and making sure that they do have caregivers. And, you know, so she's she's a wealth of knowledge.
That'd be great.
Let me see if I can hook the three of you up.
That'd be great.
Okay. All right. So you feel better about that now?
Yes, I do. I do very much. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I'm just writing that down.
My whole purpose is taking more shape. And for us to go through our latest situation, you know, this is some good that could come out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think these are the kind of situations where people need to learn from somebody who's been through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's hard when you feel like you're the, you're blazing the trail.
Right. Exactly. Okay. All right. Other questions? My grand doggy has joined us in the background.
Oh, good.
Right, Reed?
He's a big guy.
He's actually not that big. He's half Whippet, half Labrador.
Yeah.
And
I see the lab in him.
Yeah, he looks more like a whippet, really.
But, oh, okay.
But yeah, his face looks more like a lab, but the rest of him looks like a whippet. Right, Reed? His mommy left him here for 3 months. He's very sad.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, other questions? Ella, you got some for me?
Yes. I also responded to Deborah's Facebook page. Did you see my notes, Deborah?
Yes, I did. Thank you very much.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I was a caregiver for dementia and TMI, TBI, and all that for not, I don't know if caregiver is the right word. I just had to get him food, shelter, love, everything.
That's a caregiver.
Okay, but for me it was all about legal. Uh-huh. It was all to try to convey my love was just to get the survival stuff. That was, it didn't feel like love. It was just survival and legal battles. That was my story.
But that's huge.
So, anyways.
That's huge.
Yeah,
thank you.
It was rough.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, I congratulations on doing this wonderful book and your mission. It's very brave and courageous. That's all I have to say.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thank you.
Okay. Now, but my question, I was really happy this week because I made progress on homework number 8, which talks about, I had it right in front of me here. Using creative community building strategies. And I posted that on the Facebook page, how this wonderful course talks about finding creative ways to share your message and setting up a group form or membership site. And I chose a membership site with a plugin. I'm really happy with my website. Now I've got a membership site and how to organize my blogs, vlogs, my online course.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is so cool.
My tagline changed and I'm very clear and I understand, really understand this course now, the progression, because once you really have your mission down, your purpose, your tagline, and then you get the focus of your blog and then videos and then how you're going to teach and all that, then I realize the next step really is the book proposal because you're so clear.
Right.
So I understand, I have much more clarity over the whole process now.
Awesome.
And I can't wait for next week when we move on to the book proposal. I think the reason there wasn't a big attendance this week is this is hard.
Yeah. No. Well, you've been here with me before, Ella. We lose people because it's a lot of work. I mean, the homework assignments and all, they're big. And so, you know, I could hold back, but it doesn't serve you any if I don't give it to you. So, yeah. So, you know, I want to really encourage you and, well, congratulate you, Ella, for what you've done. And I think that not only does it give you more clarity as you move forward, but having that membership site set up and, you know, ready to go gives you something else to put in your proposal to say you are ready to create a community, right?
Yes.
You know, there are forum plugins as well. These things have changed a lot since I had a forum. I got rid of my forum because it got filled with spam and just required a lot of kind of organizing. And actually these days, I think the easier place to have a forum is to just have a Facebook group, you know, or a LinkedIn group where, you know, you moderate and it doesn't have to be totally, you know, like not everybody has to be able to see it. You can make it private so that, you know, nobody knows who's in it or any of that stuff, but that's really the easiest way to go. But you can do the forum within the membership site, I believe. And, you know, it's just one more way for you to begin collecting an audience, right? And gathering a community.
Yes. Thank you. I will look into that next on Facebook. I also, because of our last meeting, I fully understand the Facebook page now. It demystified it. So thank you, and I'm very happy with it. And soon I'm going to start inviting my favorite colleagues to join me, and then from there I can expand my Facebook page.
Good. Good. Yeah, I mean, you're really rocking it. I mean, you're really putting all the pieces into place, and all that can be mentioned in your platform, in your platform section of your proposal. And you know, not only that, you're ready to go. You're ready to start doing something.
I want to go back and teach at the conferences because that's what I love doing, but I needed a foundation before I went back. Mm-hmm. So I'm feeling really good about this. And the fact that on Mother's Day, I did not run off and teach at two conferences. I held my ground and I did my membership site. So it's because of this course that you've offered and courses that all of this has happened. So thank you. I'm very grateful.
Oh, you're welcome. Well, it's a joy to have you. And what was I just going to tell you?
Facebook page, the forum, the membership site.
Yeah, hang on, let me think. You were talking about speaking. Not that I want to load you up with more stuff because you've already accomplished quite a lot, but since you like to teach, do not discount doing online teaching like webinars.
Yes, that's my next thing I want to set up. In fact, I want to do a sample webinar where my husband is the only member.
That's a good idea.
Or invite the people in this group to give you feedback.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I want that you nailed it. That was my big question this week. I tried to go on the webinar jam and I got kind of confused and they had like a $300 a year. I want to test something out. Which is the easiest site do you recommend I begin to do webinars, which I can upload to Vimeo?
Okay.
Which so I can access through my blog.
So the reason that I like Webinar Jam is because it creates a landing page, right, for your video. Let me see if I can sign on while I'll talk while I'm doing it. But it creates a landing page. It then runs the whole thing for you, like not for you, but you know what I mean. Once you have it, they have a thing where you can actually set it up. You know, they'll set it up for you really fast. I find that's not as useful as going in there and doing it myself and picking everything. But then you can set it up so that you actually have different emails, reminders that are going out, and that they get the replay and all of that. And then it loads it to YouTube as a private video, if you set it up that way. That's how mine's always set up. And then you can download it off of YouTube and put it up on Vimeo, right? You don't have to have a replay if you don't want. You can charge. It's actually set up to allow you to charge money if you want. So you could actually set it up as, you know, you send out an email or put something up on Facebook or whatever it is you're going to do that says, I'm going to do a 3-part webinar and it costs, you know, $50. And Webinar Jam will collect the money and everything. And it'll get people onto your list. So what I like about it is it has a whole lot of features that actually, once I have it all set up, it becomes very simple for me. The only thing I have to do is advertise, you know, promote to the landing page. So that just means I have to go to Facebook and Twitter and wherever. And, you know, I usually set this kind of thing up in social oomph. So I create a whole bunch of tweets and LinkedIn messages and things like that. And I set it up to run. And so I'm promoting, and that's how people are coming in, right? But once they're in, I don't have to do anything. It's all handled. Whereas if I use Zoom, I have to set it up, which is not so hard. And Zoom is pretty easy to use and all of that. Although I did do something recently, I think it was the blogging webinar for the university. So I don't know if anyone looked at that, but I think that when it recorded, it actually had the little panel of everybody's faces. I don't know that you could see them, but anyway, it was blocking part of the screen. I actually don't know how to, I have to figure out how to not have that happen. But despite that, you could run a webinar pretty easily off of Zoom, but you have to do all the reminder emails, all the follow-up emails saying there's a replay, all that stuff. And you have to set up collecting money and anything like that. And you have to create a landing page. So to me, Webinar Jam is way easier. Would both of you like me to just give you a quick tour in Webinar Jam, or is it only Ella who's interested in that?
Is this the one that costs?
Yes. Well, they all cost. Zoom is free, but only if you, but like you can't have more than 100 people, or you can't even have 100. I can't remember. I upgraded so that I didn't have to worry about how many people were in it.
Okay.
And so if Ella's the only one interested, then I'll wait. And when we're done, Ella, I could show it to you for a few minutes.
No, I'm interested.
Okay. So let me do a screen share then.
May I quickly interject? Can I also do like my 9 webinars and save them so that they'll be my 9-week online course?
Yeah, because they
don't always have to be live.
No, they'll all be. Do you have to do those live? Is that what you're asking?
Well, I mean, I can save them and then use them at a later date. I can record them on Webinar Jam, my 9-week courses, like in this ACT program, and then I can use them at a later date.
Yeah, so Webinar Jam, so we're in Webinar Jam now, and there are a couple things. So they changed some things, and I want to make sure I'm in the right place. Yeah, I think so. So if I wanted to do a new webinar, oh, I should have slowed that down. I'm sorry. Let me go back just so that you can see how it works. And then I'll answer your question. I don't have 100% answer to you, but so I don't know if you saw, did you see that? There's a concierge service where like in 10 seconds they set you up or else you do it yourself. Hi, Linda. We're looking at Webinar Jam.
Hi, Linda. Good to see you.
Good to see all of you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're looking at Webinar Jam just for a minute. So anyway, did you see that, the two of you, that there was the concierge service where they'll just set the whole thing up for you?
Being the quick start, is that what that means?
Okay. Yeah, so I don't usually opt for that. And then I'll go through this whole configuration, okay? So basically, what Ella's asking is about the webinar provider. And here you have three choices. Okay, so Facebook Live is obviously Facebook Live. And what's happening is that they're running that for you. And you could actually, set it up so that, you know, it's all handled and people, I don't know. Actually, I haven't done a Facebook Live through here except once, I think. So I can't remember if you can get people registering or whatever, but probably. Anyway, the YouTube Live, that's your regular webinar, okay? Jamcast is a private network. So it seems to me, Ella, that if you use Jamcast, you could just record and nobody would ever see it. You could actually do the same on YouTube Live and not advertise it, right? Just set it up like a webinar you're going to run live and then just you record. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes, but it would still be public.
No, because what you do is somewhere here. I guess I haven't done enough of it to show you, but let me go to one of my webinars. Maybe if I don't do a new webinar, I can show you more easily. But you set it up so that it's... okay, let's go to this one. So it's the Express configuration where they do it, but it doesn't really have everything. And then in the end, you go back to the beginning anyway, if you want to change anything. So it's just not worth it to me. I just start with the other one, but you set it up so that it's a private YouTube video, Ella, so that that way, once it goes to YouTube, it's not, nobody can see it but you.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing where that is, but somewhere along here, it asks you, okay? But what I did want to show you was that, so it's going to ask you, so here under, see, this is webinar notifications, and it tells you, you know, you can set it up how many different emails you want them to get. So I don't have to do that here, whereas on Zoom, I would have to send the emails myself. This way, every time somebody signs up, they get put on a list and they start getting the reminders. So if somebody signs up last minute, they're still going to get the reminders. I don't have to worry that I'm trying to set up for a webinar and three people just signed up, right? And here's where you set it up to be with your autoresponder and all of that. And where is... Okay, and then the registration page, that's what I wanted to show you. So here you actually pick a, template to use to create a design, to create a web page. So we look at this, hopefully it's going to just show me what I did already. No, so it's giving you a sample. It's not showing you mine, but you can see that this is where, you know, you can pick something and set it up, right? And so okay. Now you suddenly will have a, you'll actually have a page that's set up. If we go all the way to the end of mine, sorry. And it says all done. And you go to the main dashboard. And if I were to grab my links, so besides all the emailing it does for you and sending it directly to YouTube, and it will be private as long as you set it up that way. I'm sorry I couldn't figure out where that was. But if I were to want to invite people to my webinar, see, that's right here. And I can just, oh, sorry. Well, I could copy it. And I could then send it to people. If I just go to the registration page, you're going to see, hopefully, my registration page. I don't know why it's telling me to log in. Well, because this is over, so hold on. Let's go to a different one. Maybe I have one that's not... Well, anyway, what you get is a link, and it's a page. It's all set up. Like I showed you, there were all those different templates. So I don't want to spend too much more time on this. But the idea here is, Ella, that you know everything would be set up. You could just run it for yourself, never publicize it to anyone, and it would just go to YouTube as a private video, and then you could download it and upload it to Vimeo. Okay, so. You know, you're just going to come here and set up the configuration. And the first thing you're going to want to do is decide, do I want to do it as a live webinar or do it as a Jamcast? And I think Jamcast is going to work for you fine because you don't really need to invite anybody to it if you're just doing it for your course, right?
Yes, and then I can maybe at a future date when I want to do all the emailing and everything, I can activate it again. And then it'll start collecting emails and giving reminders.
You clone it is what happens.
Clone it, that's it.
Yeah, you're going to clone it.
Thank you. New word.
Yeah, it says clone. You clone it, and that's it. Then you have it, and you can actually send out the reminders.
Thank you. That's perfect.
You're welcome. Okay, let me get out of here. Where the heck am I? Sorry, trying to figure out how the heck to get out of my – oh, there we go. Stop share. Okay, so, all right, Deborah asked something, Ella asked something. Linda, do you have any questions for us today?
Well, I don't know what was already asked, but I've been doing a lot of reviewing and sent things up for the blog. I have my framework and figured out where I'm going to be putting info until I'm ready to pull it and write it, so I'm getting that all done. But I also been watching a lot of people talk about blogging and the money they make and things like that, and I'm just kind of wondering how much of it is all true, because to me I haven't met many people that really make six figures just from blogging. So I'm just kind of wondering, what's reality with all of that?
So tell me how did they say they were making money from their blogs?
They didn't. And that was the reason I'm thinking, I'm not so sure about that.
Okay. So here's how I look at it. Could you make six figures from your blog alone? No. You're going to make six figures by having products and services you sell from your website, which has the blog, right? Because again, the blog is just the technology. I mean, the website is actually created with blogging technology. So let's just say WordPress, right? Creates a website, there's a blog, the page that's the blog, and you're publishing content there. So I publish content there, and guess what? This isn't a lot, like a big example, but just from publishing content on my blog, I have had probably five people contact me about high performance coaching. And I said, how did you find me? Did a search for high performance coach. That's because my content on my blog is coming up high enough in their search for them to find me. So am I making money off my blog? Not technically off the posts, but yes. The other thing is you could write a blog post, and if you have enough traffic, you could be selling a product. So at the end of every one of my blog posts on ninaamir.com, I'm selling high performance coaching. So
okay,
how am I making money off my blog? By getting in clients. On writenonfictionnow.com, which is a WordPress site, and it's set up primarily like a blog, but it has pages with products and services. So if people show up there, you know, if we call that a blog, right, just because it's really set up like a blog, not like ninaamir.com, which is set up more like a website. You know, there are products and services, there are books, there's coaching, there's all of that. There's a nonfiction writers university. All of those things are being sold there. So if I had more traffic, if I was a little better at promoting and I was running ads and all that kind of thing, could I make six figures? Yeah, probably I could. Last year, did I make six figures? Yeah, but I did it promoting the High Performance Writer Program. Now, did I write blog posts about that? I sure did. Okay, does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, that makes more sense to me than when you're listening to the different people talking about blogs and bragging about what they make. They don't really go, there's only one person who actually said how, and I know there's a lot of good people out there that do promote blogs. I just general research. The one person that who did talk about it, his was all based off of affiliate. He had no product at all. He just sold other people's product.
So is that Jeff Goyne?
He made his money, and I completely understand all that.
Yeah, Deborah's asking if that was Jeff Goyne.
I do watch Jeff Goyne, but I don't think I watched his thing on the blog.
Okay. Is that a program you took where there were a bunch of bloggers? Or
no, this is when I was just I went on YouTube and just typed in how to blog, because I was more focused on my framework and what I wanted. And I have your stuff. I have Michael Hyatt's stuff. And so I was just pulling it all together. And I just thought, okay, I'm going to do one more research to see what's out there on YouTube. And so a lot of that came up about all the money aspect of it.
Yeah. So the affiliate marketing is a big thing. You know, I always tell people when you set up your blog, hi, Sherry.
Hi.
When you set up your blog, you know, definitely go to Amazon and set up an affiliate, you know, join their affiliate program. Every time I mention a book on my blog, I'm using an affiliate link. Now, do I make a ton of money on that? No, but, you know, depending on the month, I might make 15, 20 bucks, you know, coffee money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it all depends. I mean, somebody could go there to look at a book that I suggest, and they buy the book, and then they start searching around Amazon, and they buy a grill for $500. Well, I get a percentage of that. right? So it doesn't matter what they buy. If they went there on my link, I'm getting paid. So that's a small time affiliate thing, but you could, so all of you probably are on my mailing list and notice that occasionally I'm promoting somebody else's event, right? You know, I've promoted Ray Edwards stuff, Michael Hyatt's Best Year Ever I usually promote. And these are people that I trust, that I know, you know, what they do. I trust their programs, or I've used their programs. And that can bring in, you know, if you were to do that on all the time, and if you had a list that was very responsive, you could be making good money on every one of those promotions. Some of those promotions pay. Some of them will, you know, have a, you know, have a incentive program. Mm-hmm. If you're the top seller, you get an extra $1,000, or you get a car, or it's amazing the things they'll give away, you know, the big guys, right? So could you be making money on affiliate? Of course you could. And there are a lot of people who have a blog and don't have any products or services, don't want any products and services, and they make their money promoting. Look at Dan, his name just went out of my head. Let me see if I can find it really fast. But all that's all he does. Every week he does a couple different, Daniel Hall.
Daniel Hall,
you know, I was thrilled when Daniel Hall contacted me. Because he and I had been affiliated with a site where we were both writing for a site called The Power of Ink. And that's how I met him. But I didn't really know him, but we met through that. Like, we had some meetings like this, a Zoom meeting, and, you know, we were all talking. And but he reached out to me and said, you know, can we do something together? And I was thrilled, because all he does is affiliate stuff. Like, he, you know, he said, I need a program that you're selling for $200 or more. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's not worth it to me to do. And so he'd make money and I'd make money. So these are all ways you make money with a blog. Yeah.
Okay. And they have to have a large, we have to build a large list before something like that really can take effect.
The affiliate stuff for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff I promote via email and my blogs, you know, usually, you know, I think the most I ever made on an affiliate thing was, and that I think was with Joel Friedlander when it was my program. Like, we created a program together. I think that time I made over $1,000, but usually I make a couple hundred dollars. But on the other hand, a lot of them, they keep the cookies going, you know? And so I may never promote their item again, and I still will get money coming in. You know, my bookkeeper comes in, she's like, yeah, you got $150. Who is this? Like, it's an affiliate payment. Didn't do anything. It just came in. So it's kind of nice. Mm-hmm. But I do suggest, if you want to make money from your blog, that you're thinking books, product, you know, other products besides books, like courses, some kind of services, all of that. And you do have to be building your list, and you do have to be promoting. So it's not like you just sit there and write and the money rolls in. You know who I would go look at as pro blogger? Darren Rouse. Darren Rouse documented, the reason he became so successful was actually, he started blogging, and he started blogging, he was blogging about a bunch of different things, photography, spirituality, you know, blogging, all kinds of stuff. And then he decided he wanted to make a living at this. And he just started writing about becoming a professional blogger, meaning somebody who got paid for his work, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't writing for anyone else, which, by the way, that's another way to get paid for blogging, is to actually be a paid blogger. Like, I pay some people to write posts for me. But Darren documented the whole thing and, you know, actually has shown numbers, where his money's coming from. But it's mostly from his books and products. And, you know, he has some little courses, and he has a bunch of books, and he does affiliate stuff. Yeah. So, but okay. I would go look at him, and he's a very honest guy down in Australia who I've met and talked to, and he'd be
okay. I'll do that. Cause I figure if I'm going to get this going, I should have a really good understanding of how to utilize it the best. Mm-hmm. And I do realize that as we blog and we set up our SEOs properly, we will get people coming in regards to our products, which is really good. I've never done the Amazon affiliate link, but I would like to do book reviews.
Yeah, then you definitely want to.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, you can't spit it, you know, even 10, 15 bucks coming in every month, right? I mean,
right.
If you're going to do book reviews, you definitely want to have an Amazon affiliate link.
Okay.
Yeah, and then don't forget that outside of the money, the blog is your way to build platform for your books, right?
Right.
And it's, you know, and those books become a calling card, a business card, better than a business card for you, for what you do. So
because it helps us to connect.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's you showing your expertise on your blog, you know, writing great, valuable content that you can then share, you know, all around the internet, you know, on all the social media sites, so that you then are driving people back to your blog, and then that's where you make the money.
Mm-hmm. So does it tell us how to do it? Because it's not like I own the book. I mean, am I just getting a copy of the book and clicking it on? Or when I go to Amazon affiliate, it'll just explain how I
hook. Okay, so let me show you very quickly, okay?
Okay.
Find where to go. Desktop. All right, I'm not there yet, though, so hang on. I have to move all this stuff out of the way so that I can see what I'm doing. Okay. It's coming up. Yeah, and this is all important just because, you know, you want to be making money, right? I mean, you can't sustain your movement or your actions as an author of change if you don't have money coming in, right?
Right.
So... okay, sorry, it's a little slow. All right, so this is my affiliate page, okay? This is my affiliate name up here, Pure Spirit CRE. I guess it didn't have the whole thing. And, you know, look, it's telling me, I'm not making a lot of money, but look, I'm making something this month, you know, a little bit. Have I done much? No, you know. So it's just showing you, you know, what's going on. But all I do is I come here and let's say, I mean, I can use an affiliate link for my own books. That's pretty cool, right? Mm-hmm. I make money on the book selling and then I make money as an affiliate. So if I just put in the author training manual and hit go, there it is. So all I have to do is go over here and get a link. Now, I never use this big, huge, long link. I just go here. I grab this little old link, copy it, paste it in my blog post.
Okay.
But you could look for anything here. You could look for, I use this stuff. Pain Terminator. Okay. Let's say I'm writing a blog post about pain. And I go, and I use this, you know, Golden Sunshine Pain Terminator cream and the patches. I could go here and I could get a link and there you go. But besides that, you can also get the native ads. There's a way to also get the picture, which I usually don't do. Yeah, here, see, you can get image only, text only. So, I mean, I could click here and it's just the image. Here, it's just the text. Right, but I could grab this HTML and I would get the image that I could drop into a blog post, and when they click on that image, I'm gonna make money if they buy.
Okay.
Pretty simple, right?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, everyone should be doing that.
Okay.
Okay.
I actually read James L. Tucher actually wrote about a Australian gentleman in one of his books. And he said they wanted pink flamingos in Australia for his pool. I guess he had a big pool. He couldn't get it due to the cost of shipping. You know, it is quite a bit to ship overseas. So he hired a manufacturer to make him flamingos, but the best he could do was where he would get 450 of them. So he decided to purchase the 450 flamingos and then sell them. And he sold them all through Amazon just by shipping them to Amazon. And he made such a big business out of it. He's still doing it.
Yeah.
They couldn't get flamingos in Australia. But my point is, it just kind of blew my mind that, but I didn't know any I thought you had to have a product. You had to own it in order to link onto it.
No, no. And once you start doing affiliate promotions, like for other people, there's this guy, Matt, who runs affiliate promotions for a lot of big people. Like, I can't remember if he's the one who does it for Michael Hyatt, but then you just get on their list and they contact you and say, Michael's doing this promotion. Can you do it? You know, and it's like, if it's Michael Hyatt, I'm pretty sure it's going to be something reasonable, you know, something good. So I don't have, you know, and sometimes if you sell enough, like if you sell two or three, they'll actually give you access to the product, you know, or you could buy it and see. But anyway, yeah. So all of these are ways you can make money with your blog. And you definitely should be looking at that because, like I said, you need to be able to sustain your movement. I mean, we all need to make a living, right?
Right.
So awesome. Okay.
All right, thank you.
All right, Sherry. Yeah, that's okay. No worries. We kind of been all over the place today. It's no worries. Sherry, did you get your writing back?
Sherry did.
Had a crash of some sort.
Yeah, I did. I was trying to blog a book, and so I was taking it from my, my writing to my blog, and yeah, I lost it. So yeah, it's a pretty simple procedure to get it back, but I didn't know how to do it until my husband came home. So all I had to do was close it out and then go back without saving it and then going back in. And anyway, I recovered it.
Back into Word?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So,
the last saved thing came up and that included what I thought I lost.
Okay. So here's a few things. I am a paranoid saver when it comes to the computer, because my life is on the computer. Like not my life, but you know what I mean? My work life, everything is on my computer. Mm-hmm. I have so much stuff over the years. I actually have a 5 terabyte external drive that has stuff on it because I can't fit it all on my computer anymore. And so I'm enormously paranoid about a crash.
Mm-hmm.
And, I, first of all, have Word set up to save every minute or 2 minutes. I can't remember which. So if you go to your preferences in Word, I'm just going there to look. I think it's in preferences. You go to save. Mine is on saving every 2 minutes, but you know what? I'm actually changing it as we speak to 1. Because, for instance, I have a very old version of Word, and when I am working in Word using track changes, it crashes all the time, and it's horrible. And so, anyway, so that's number one. In Word, go to settings, go to save, and put it for 1 or 2 minutes, so you never lose more than 2 minutes of work.
Oh, okay? Wow.
Yep. Yeah. You'll never lose more than 2 minutes. So you can always replace 2 minutes worth of work. But you don't want to replace 2 hours. Yeah. The other thing is that I have a Mac, and so I have an external drive, and I have Time Machine running, which is the Mac, built-in backup system. So that's running all the time, backing up my whole system, my whole computer. And then you have used Carbonite for years, which is a paid service, not very expensive, and Carbonite backs up to the cloud. And to be honest, because I had a few issues with Carbonite, charging me a lot because of my external drives and stuff, that I went searching for something else, and I got rid of one recently, but I also have something now called, Backblaze, which is very fast, and all of these backups, it's so easy to get in there and just find whatever, like if your computer crashes, you don't know what you did with something, you threw it away and hit the empty trash button and now it's gone, it's going to be in your backup. So I'm fairly paranoid, especially I live in an area where, there are fires and things, and I just want to know that I can quickly get to my material. So anyway. So yeah, okay. So we said I would talk about backing up because for that reason.
Yeah.
But doesn't sound like it was a big problem.
No, it wasn't at all.
Good. All right. So did you have some questions for me today, Sherry?
No, this homework I think has taken me a little into places I don't care about going. Yeah, well, I mean, I would like to do some speaking engagements, I think, but I haven't, other than that, you know, most of the homework was really not what I was not pertinent to me. It's not something I'm going to do right now.
Okay, so meaning the online forums and things like that and groups and...
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that.
Okay. All right. So, so no questions for you right now?
No, okay. I just came along for the ride.
Okay. All right. Well, we've been all over the place. So, all right. So we're back to Ella. Ella, you got another question for us?
I'll need a few more minutes. I was listening intensely.
Okay. Then we'll go back to Linda.
Second.
All right. Linda, you got another one? You're muted.
No, I don't have any other questions. I'm so far behind compared to what the others have done. My focus really is just to get the blogging going, and I haven't even been working with social media. But I shouldn't say I haven't, because I've got stuff out there, and I have had clients. I have signed some people up through LinkedIn for coaching. So
awesome.
Yeah, that is great.
I guess I'm doing enough for where I'm at right now.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Don't beat yourself up. Everyone goes at their own pace. So while we're waiting for another question, maybe from Ella, I'll ask you all something. So I had mentioned that you all will have the ability to be beta readers for me, which means mm-hmm. that you can read, you know, my book as it's being written or when it's a draft. I've just finished the changes my agent wanted on the introduction on the first chapter. The second chapter is not written, but the third chapter is, and I haven't done the change edits to that yet. But he actually left me a note somewhere saying, asking me to change something and saying, this is where maybe some beta readers would come in handy. So the question is, if I were to put in a Dropbox the intro in chapter one, knowing that, I mean, we've talked about this, whether you want it all at once or whatever, but, you know, would anybody have the time in the next week or two to actually read through chapter one and maybe the introduction as well and give me feedback?
Sure.
Yeah?
I can, yeah.
Linda, you?
Yeah? Sure, I could. When you say chapter one and some feedback, that would, I'm assuming, is no more than 50 to 70 pages at max, right?
Yeah, it's, no, it's more
I just want to make sure it's not one of these 100 pages a chapter.
No. But I'm trying to remember how many pages it is. It's, I don't think it's more than 25 pages altogether.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
Okay. And what I'm looking for, so I'll put it in the Dropbox. I have to look at one other thing tomorrow morning at it. The latest it'll be in there is next week, because I'm actually at Brendan's at Experts Academy this weekend. So don't know if I'll have that 100% done, but I'm looking for anything like, this kind of pissed me off, you know, or this feels exclusive to me, or you know, anything like that, or this doesn't make sense. I don't understand this. I need you to clarify. I, you know, felt talked down to here. So my agent has been really picky about this, and, you know, saying, you know, people who will read this book will have, they already have their cause. They don't need me to help them pick it. On the other hand, they are going to be looking at their purpose and that kind of thing, right? Like all of you are, because it's based on this course. But he just wants me to make sure that I'm not, you know, offending anyone, not talking down to anyone, that it's addressing your issues and concerns, that sort of thing. But also, if you just find a typo or you think, you know, something didn't make sense, or, you know, hey, you could have included this, and anything like that is good. And you can do it. I'm going to give you a Word file. So if you know how to use track changes, you can just go through and track changes and just leave me comments. Does anybody not know how to use track changes?
I've never even heard of it.
I'm not sure what it is either.
Okay. So it's a program in Word.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very old version of Word. So if I show it to you, it's not going to really be that helpful unless you have an old version too. Well, the other option that's much harder is to just say, you know, page 5, you know, line 10, you know, here's my comment. Or copy the sentence or whatever, you know, and drop it into a Word document and then put your comments with it.
So if we went into YouTube and hit track version Microsoft or Word.
Track changes, yeah.
Track changes, okay.
You would see it. Here, let me show, I can show you real quickly in mine. I just can't tell you where to
find it
in the new version. So yeah. Hang on, let me go to Word. Okay, so, all right, so this is maybe I shouldn't be sharing this, but anyway, it's a blog post that I edited for somebody and it was done in track changes. So this is what track changes looks like. See, when I add something, this is what it does. And when I delete it, it leaves a message. And if I make a comment, it's over here. Okay? So if you were just doing comments, this is how it would look. There would just be comments. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you could highlight something or whatever. But where you go in this old version is I go up here to Tools and then to Track Changes.
Oh, okay.
And then I actually click in this version on highlight changes, and usually it shows up like this. And then I just say track changes while editing, okay. And now if I went in here and did like that, see, it's in a different color.
Mm.
And if I were to take this word out, it would show that it was deleted.
That looks easy enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty easy. And all you're going to be doing is going up to where, see here where it says new comment? So let's say there was something about this I didn't like. I just highlight it. I go new comment and I type in my comment. So here's the other thing about this. I'm going to stop sharing. It is a good idea for you to learn how to use track changes. The reason why? Editors use it. Your book will eventually need to be edited, and the editors are going to use track changes. There are a few editors who still write on the manuscript. I don't even recommend them, because then you have to input every change that they say to make. You know, when my manuscript comes back from my agent, it looks like that blog post with comments, you know, address this, you know, careful, don't like this kind of language, you know, you might want to look at this book, you know, for some extra information for this, you know, whatever it is. He has all the comments, plus he's edited. He's actually deleted and changed and, you know, and so you need to learn how to use this because it allows you actually to go through and accept or not accept changes one by one. So you can actually go through your manuscript and say, I don't like that change, getting rid of it. I do like that one, I accept it. Or you can do what I did, which was I just accepted all the changes, right? So, so yeah, so it's important to learn it anyway.
Okay.
But however you choose to do it, you know, would be great. I mean, even if it's just highlighting some things and dropping it into a Word document and saying, this is what I thought would be helpful. So I will put that in by next week, those two documents. And then when I get chapter 3, I'll put that in there. And if you want to read it, great. And then I'll wait until I have chapter 2 and some more. But that would be awesome. I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, I'm a beta reader for someone else, so I'm going to try that on hers. She'll be so impressed.
It's really pretty easy. All right, Ella, did you have another question?
Yes. This is another question regarding another way of monetizing. I really enjoy doing YouTube videos. I have so many that I want to do that I thought I could create like a learning center where I just keep putting them in, and then I could have a subscription membership where people pay like $5 a month and it gives them access, like 3-month membership, to look at all my all the stuff in the learning center. Does that sound reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, so you could actually make the blog, the videos private or unlisted. The unlisted, you get a link that only the people you give it to can access.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And so basically you would just every week you'd send them, you know, or whatever it is, you'd send them an email that says, here's the latest, you know, click here to see the latest YouTube video. Or you may be able to just drop it actually into the email, like I do on Sundays, but it probably needs to be unlisted. You just look on YouTube and it'll tell you the differences between unlisted and private. But private, nobody really sees, but you might be able to share that, you might be able to share that link and still have somebody see it. You know what I mean? I don't know. The other thing you can do, which I haven't done, I did it for a few videos, and that is to put ads on them. You know, the ones that, you know, say after 5 minutes or 5 seconds, you can skip this ad. And if somebody clicks on it, you make money. Hello?
Yes, I'm thinking. what about if I just did my YouTube videos and put them on Vimeo and had a membership that
you could do that too.
I sent them out. But that kind of ties into MailChimp. If I had a group of people I had in MailChimp under one of their category, under a category, then I could just send out that video each month to that membership group. Or no, mm-hmm. I'm getting way complicated. Anyways.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do
there's
Vimeo.
There's different ways to do it.
I would not necessarily do YouTube. I would just shoot a video, right, of myself talking, if that's what you're going to do. And then I would take that, and I just use my iPhone. So I would just download that into iMovie and do whatever I need to do with it in iMovie, and then I would send it to Vimeo.
Okay.
You have a Mac, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I would do. I wouldn't even mess with YouTube. Why? It's just an extra step.
And then like your university, you've got categories that people can look at,
mm-hmm.
different stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So they could click on, you know, whatever your categories are. Yeah, they click through and that's where they go. Or it could just be categorized by months and say, you know, here's May's video, here's June's video. But yeah, that would be a great way to do it. I've been thinking about things like that a lot, Ella, because my High Performance Writer Mastermind, for about 10 or 12 sessions, I created a meditation because they asked me to. They wanted me to focus on the book Creative Visualization for Writers and tie that into the high performance work. And so I did. And so they wanted the visualization. And so I did that for, I don't know, maybe it was more like 15 or 16 sessions. I can't remember. And then I was like, you know what? I should be monetizing this. I'm going to find somebody to listen to them and see whether they're clear enough to use as is. And then I actually talked to a guy that I know who has meditation music, and we'll just put the meditation music behind it, and I'll do a subscription, $5 a month or $10 a month. And you get, you know, once a month, you get a video. Work with it for, I mean, not a video, just a recording. Drop it onto your phone, an MP4, MP3, drop it onto your phone, listen to it for a month. Next month, you get a new one. So yeah, these are great ways to monetize that are not very, very hard, I think, compared to some other things. So.
Did you create the categories yourself, or did that Fresh Eyes consultancy create the different categories to drop things?
You mean like blogging and platform?
Yeah, like different.
No, they asked me. And every month when I send something to Ruth, she'll say, you forgot to tell me what category to put it in.
I see. Okay.
And I have to go look at the categories and remember what all the categories are and tell her where to put it.
Yes, I also have a visualization or meditation series that I want to monetize.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That are related to my book.
Yep.
And that's
very smart thinking.
And do you use MailChimp at all?
What's that?
Do you use MailChimp at all to capture emails or for different groups?
I was using AWeber, and we've shifted over to ActiveCampaign, which I am still struggling to learn. supposed to be very intuitive. I am not yet finding it quite so intuitive. And I'm a pretty intuitive person. Ruth is helping a lot. She's doing, I think, more email stuff than she thought she was going to be doing, because I'm like, oh, I don't know what to do. I put it in there.
Oh.
But yes, you need to have an email marketing system of some sort. And what I was going to say was, for all of you, really, and this is what I learned last year. Okay, last year I 10x'd my income. But I think I've told all of you, I mean, the constant promotion of the High Performance Writer and Charged Writer programs was just so time consuming and draining that I couldn't keep doing it. So when I asked in my community, you know, what do? I was told recurring income. It has to be recurring income. And this is what I'm hearing now over and over and over again. If you want to have a sustainable income, you need to have what's called recurring income. And that is like a membership site or something where somebody is paying you on a regular basis. And that's why in the Nonfiction Writers University master's program, you know, I said, okay, I have to do authorpreneurship, because this is like not talked about so much amongst authors, is how do we actually make money? And one of the best things you can do is a membership site like the university. But, you know, the university, it has a fair number of people in it, but not enough to make me the kind of income. So that was why, you know, we said, okay, well, the High Performance Writer worked. I mean, it definitely worked. I increased my income. I had people sign up every time, except once. And, you know, but it was just to have it in a universe, you know, in a program where people are saying, I'm paying every month for this and I don't have to keep, you know, once I have a certain number of people in there, yeah, I still have to promote, but it's not you can automate all that because you're promoting one thing. So that's the caution I would give you, Ella, is don't get too many things going, because then you're promoting all of them. And it'd be way easier to promote one thing. So like I'm promoting the Nonfiction Writers University and the master's program and Author of Change. For writers, that's it. I did High Performance Writer once this year, and I will do it once next year. And that is only because there are novelists out there who need it too. And so once it's in the Nonfiction Writers University, there are no novelists who get to benefit from it. So once a year, I'll do that. Author of Change, I don't want in the university. It's related to the book I'm writing. It's, you know, it's something separate. And so I could put it in there, but I'm not going to. And then I'm going to set up one, a membership site that's all personal development and spirituality and metaphysics, because that's a passion of mine and it'll be fun for me. And I never intended to only work with writers. So yeah, but that'll also be recurring income. So you get people in there, and of course you have some attrition, some people leave, and then new people come in. And so as long as you have enough people at all times, you're gonna have recurring income. So if you have the meditations and you're also thinking about the videos, I think about putting them all in there together and just charging more.
Thank you very much. That was very wise advice. Thank you.
Well, I teach from my own experience here, so. Yeah.
So what is the best for us? We have 4 more weeks of this, then we won't be able to have the ask good questions and to keep moving along. What is the best thing for us to move into?
Okay, so are all of you in the Nonfiction Writers University?
I am.
No, I'm not.
You're not sure?
Other than this free year, but I haven't taken advantage of it. So.
Okay, so all of you, that's what I thought I remembered, that everybody had a free year. Mm-hmm. Ella's in the Nonfiction Writers University, and Linda, but Ella's done a lot with it. So there are a couple things. One, definitely use your Nonfiction Writers University membership, okay? Mm-hmm. So that's number one. Number two, when this program is over, I will promote to you and past people who have taken this course, another 3-month program, which is about writing. All it is writing support. So it's write your book in 3 months. So we figure, did I not go through this last time with you?
No.
Okay, hang on. I just want to get it right. I think it's 700 words a week we're aiming for times 90 days. Yeah. So we're looking to write about a 50 to 60,000 word book, which is a full length book, in 3 months. So after you do all this work and you've got your business plan done and all of that, you are ready to write. So you know what you need to set up for your community, and you know you've looked at how you need to change and all those things, right? And you've done the planning of the book. You've decided how you're going to publish, all of that, by the time you're done with this course. So that's when you're ready to write. So that's one option. Keep using the Nonfiction Writers University and join the, it's called the Write Your Transformational Book Challenge. And 500 to 700 words a week, that's like two to three pages, okay, a week. And if you do that at the end of 3 months, your book is done. Now, what you get with that is you get coaching every month. I think it's every other week. And I think you also get, I'm trying to remember if it's every week. I haven't done it since last year. You get checklists. So, you know, make sure that you've done this, 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 and this. And each one is related to writing and getting your book published. Okay? So you have that option. The cost for that is the same as this program. I can't remember if Ella did that or not. Did you do that, Ella?
For some reason, I don't think I did, and I can't imagine why not.
No, I don't think you did. I think you talked about it, and then you didn't, and I don't know why.
Something happened.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's an option, okay, is that you say, okay, I'm all ready, and now I'm going to focus on writing, and you work with me over 3 months to actually complete a draft manuscript. So you have the Nonfiction Writers University. Then the other option would be to upgrade your free or paid university membership to the master's level. Because at the master's level, so with the university, you get one time a month to coach with me. Group coaching, just like this. With the master's level, you get twice a month. So the second one is called office hours. It's the same thing. It's just, I called it something different. So you get two times to group coach with me. You get high performance coaching every other week. Ongoing. So we get to go through, Linda knows this, well, Ella's been through it actually. So, you know, we do the 12 core sessions, then we go on to the charge sessions, then we'll go on to the declaration sessions. And by the time we're done with that, I'll have 12 more. So we've had basically 2 years of high performance coaching, and then we'll have the authorpreneur training. And then for anyone who is really, you know, doesn't know anything about what it takes to become an author, we'll do the author training, which is based on my book, The Author Training Manual. It's a curriculum, and it's a little redundant of next month, of our next 4 weeks, where we're working on the marketable book idea. But it goes into way more depth because I'm actually teaching you about each section of the business plan for your book. Okay, so if you still have questions about how to organize your book or any of those kind of things, that would come up there. So yeah, and then, of course, you can always work with me one-on-one. But I think that's pretty much it, Linda. So working with me one-on-one, either just focused on your blog or focused on, you know, author coaching is all-encompassing. You know, it doesn't matter if we're talking about publishing, blogging, monetization. I don't care. You know, and it's unique to you. It's personalized to you. Blog coaching, we just talk about blogging. But it's the same price and all that stuff. So those are the options. Does that answer your question?
I have one more. In regards to the master, are you saying that basically you're on every week except for 1 week could be coaching, then the other week could be a group questions, and then the coaching again, and then group questions?
Yeah. So the way it'll work is, and everything will be recorded, but so 1 week would be high performance coaching. So basically high performance writer was the core session. So 1 week is that. 2 weeks later, another session. So we do two of those sessions, alternating weeks. That will be live, but you can also listen to it recorded. In between those two is the authorpreneur training. That is not live. It is just a video. So I've already produced, I think the people who are in there now, this week they got their second. I actually did, you and I did career planning, remember? Mm-hmm. So I actually decided that the foundation of pretty much everything I was going to teach them about monetization was career planning. And so while I'm not coaching them one-on-one like I did with you, they are actually learning how to do it on their own. So that's the first thing. So anyway, so it's a video. Every month will be a video. And then the fourth week is the author. Well, I can't remember how I have it set up, but in between, there's either that or the authorpreneur or the actual author coaching. And that would be live. So we have three live events, which are training, one recorded event, and then there's the extra office hours. So actually four live events and a recorded event every month, in addition to what's going on in the university. So a lot of stuff. But everything's recorded. You don't have to make it to everything. You can attend what you want. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, and just so everybody understands, right now, getting in at the early adopters level, you're getting in for only $97 a month. Once I have 20 people as early adopters, it'll go up to 147. And once I have 20 founding members, it'll go up to 197. And at a certain point, it'll go up again, because as you can see, it's a lot of content on top of the university. Because the university has a virtual writing session, a coaching session, a live educational event, a recorded training, and a checklist to go with the training. So it's a lot of stuff already. Anyway, okay. That sounded like a lot of sales talk, but thank you for asking, Linda. Yeah, because I always, you know, I love to support you all further. And if there's something else you all think you need, then tell me. But that's what I've got right now. Okay?
Okay.
All right, other questions? No? Mm-hmm. We questioned out for today? I'm happy to answer another one. Ella? You don't have to, just checking.
Could you email me the price, please, of the transformational three-month writing program that follows this one, or?
Yeah, it's $497, just like this was.
Okay.
And I haven't even started promoting it yet. I usually don't do that until about the, I don't know, 2 weeks from now. About, you know, 2 weeks from the end of this program, I start talking about it and saying that it's available. And I don't do a hard sell. And it's the same as with this. I need to have a minimum number of people to make it viable for me. So we have way more than ever show up here. But I think we had 8 people for this. So usually I need to have about 5 people to make it worth it for me. I mean, more is better, but as you can see, because part of the reason is not the money, it's because nobody shows up. So it's way better to have more people and have more people showing up than to not. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, I mean, we, you know, less questions, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, any other questions? No?
We're just happy as clams here.
Okay, but everybody's, the homework's making sense to everybody? Yeah? Whether you're caught up or not, it's all making sense. And
yep.
I mean, I know Ella's chugging along, but she'd done it once, so she's a little ahead of the curve.
It does help, I think, to go through this several times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the people who are not showing up with questions, how they are doing, but I think being able to ask the questions not only help you stay focused, but it does help you keep moving as well, just because you feel connected and you want to keep going with it.
Right. And there's, even though I'm not at, you know, I always ask, how are you doing with the homework? You know, how'd you do with this week's assignment? But there's no, I'm not banging you over the head with it, but there's still that sense of accountability, right? Mm-hmm. That every week when you show up here, if you didn't do it, you're like, oh, I really need to go do that, which is better than not showing up at all and just going, oh, well, I'll just listen to all the recordings.
Right.
And not being part of the group. And I want to commend those of you who have been on the Facebook group. Like Ella was on there, Deborah, she had to leave early for a meeting, but you know, Deborah's been on there. I can't remember if you've been on there, Sherry.
Yeah, I only comment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. But I don't know. I don't think you've been on there, Linda, right?
I connected, but I haven't been on it. But I haven't been on any of my Facebook stuff. So it's not this site. I mean, there's just only so much I can do with so many things that I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah.
So,
no, I get it. It's not a admission or anything.
I'm back on Facebook.
That's fine. I'm just saying that those who are on there, it's another way to connect, right? Mm-hmm. So right. Ella puts up, oh, I did, you know, this is what I got out of this week's session, and this is what I'm accomplishing, and it's inspiring to people, you know? Yeah. Go, oh, look, she's rocking it, man. I better get going, right? Or just to talk about it. I mean, like Deborah was talking about her book, and, you know, she got encouragement that it was a needed book and, you know, an issue that needed to be addressed. And so it's in those moments of doubt, right, and struggle that the Facebook group is a great place to go. And, you know, and I'll always comment. And, you know, so it doesn't have to just be I accomplished something. It could be I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. You know, and could I get some support? I actually was thinking of going into a group I'm in and talking about something I was struggling with, because just sometimes just being able to say it and ask for help, which we're all probably not very, at least me, I should speak for myself, I'm not very good at asking for help. So, you know, sometimes doing that can make a big difference. So I would just encourage you to use it if you can, and just to remind you that it's there, and that I've loved the people who, you know, the people who are using it. I'm really happy that you are. In the Nonfiction Writers University, nobody uses that Facebook page either. And I'm like, why is that? You know, like, I'll go in there and ask a question. It doesn't make a difference. So then I end up not going back. You know, I'm like, okay, I asked, nobody responded, which is bad on my part. I should be encouraging it more, but it just seems like there are very few people using it. And which is something to think about, Ella, when you're thinking about a forum. We were talking about forums earlier, and Ella has set up a membership site, but I said, you know, you could put a forum in there, or you could just have a group, a LinkedIn group or a Facebook group. And I haven't been in a LinkedIn group in a long time, but I wonder whether the LinkedIn groups are a little more active. Like, I'm in a Facebook group, Binders Full of Women Writers or something, and I used to get notified a lot, like, about conversations in there, and I don't see them very often. I don't know, maybe it's just because I haven't been in there for a while, but I'm wondering how much the groups are being used. On the other hand, I have the one for the parents of boys who dance, and man, is that active. I have almost 1,000 people in one of them now, and they go gangbusters. So, I don't know. To tell you,
I don't even know how to join a group in LinkedIn. So if that gives you a clue,
you don't know how to?
No, I haven't even received any notices about groups.
Let me show you real quick before we end. Oops, sorry. Let me show you real fast. You know how to join them on Facebook, though, right?
Yes.
Okay. Loading, I think. I have them all tabbed so I can get there fast. All right, hang on. Here we go. Slowly but surely it's coming. Here we go. See the little IN logo. Does anybody else not know how to join a group on LinkedIn?
I don't know how, so I'm eager to see this.
Okay.
I do not know either.
All right, so I'm just going to go to home, okay, rather than my profile.
Mm-hmm.
All right, clicked on home anyway. All right, so here we are. And let's see. Where have I always found them? It's still loading. You know, everybody changes everything. I haven't joined or, as I said, gone to a group on LinkedIn in a long time. Okay, not that. Sorry, it's like really slow. All right. So let's just go up here and put in groups. Okay, so you can see some things come up, but let's say we put in writing groups. Okay, so see, we start to get some groups. Now, it used to be easier. There used to be a tab up here that said groups. Let me see something real fast. Because they've changed it. There used to be a tab, and all you did was click on the tab and then do a search for the type of group you wanted. But they seem to have changed something. So let me, I mean, y'all could do this too, but okay. Browse groups, recommend. Oh, that's where I did go to work. All right, so let's go back there. Work. Maybe it's just covered up. Oh, there we go. Okay, sorry, you guys were covering it up. It's all your fault. Okay, so I went to work. Okay, do you see groups here?
Mm-hmm.
And you see where work was up here?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm gonna click on groups. Okay, so now we have a whole bunch of them here. How do we search for them? Discover. So see, if I went to my groups, again, I haven't done this in forever, we would have all the different groups that I'm connected with. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
See, they tell you when there's a new conversation, and you can get messages. You don't want to, if it's a really active group, you don't want to get messages because you'll get them all the time. But then you can just go to discover. This looks a lot more like it used to be. But anyway, you go here and there should be a place to. It said you could suggest them, didn't it? I mean, you could do a search. Well, you get the idea.
Right.
I don't know why they're making it so hard to, well, maybe if I get out of my groups, maybe that would be the thing.
There's a search.
Hold on. Let me, I saw that, but that was a search in my groups. See, filter my groups.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And at discover, there's nothing. So that's why I was trying to, I want to go back to work and see, I keep moving you guys over here. They've made it much harder than it used to be. See, there's no search here. So being that there's no search here, it says discover, but when I go to discover, I'm not seeing. So I would probably go back to LinkedIn and just put in, let's say, let's try a different kind of group. What kind of groups do you want, ladies? Let's put in environmental for Ella. Except that I spelled it wrong. There we go. Those are job results. So I would have to do some research on this because it's not working as easily as it should.
Which could explain why all of us newbies don't know anything about groups.
Yeah. Right. Because, well, let's go to here more. See, it says people, jobs, content. I'm going to click on more groups. And still no search. Very bizarre. Well, now it says search only for environmental groups. There we go. Okay. So I don't know that I could follow all that again, but I went to groups and I went through a different way. Do you need me to go back?
No, I think so. I got it.
And you know, like if you wanted to be, you know, this one only has three members. Cornell Environmental Collaborative. So you could click on that. And then you would ask to join. See, ask to join. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so that's, it's going to take you a little bit just because they've not made it real easy. But the groups there used to be where all the action was in the groups on LinkedIn. So, okay. Are we good for today?
We're good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for some great questions. We really kind of ran the gamut today, so that was good. And I'm glad I could share my screen and show you some things and hopefully help you out. Okay, so we are on to your books business plan and creating marketable books and learning about publishing. Exciting, huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
Good. All right, so I will talk to all of you next week. And, just as a little heads up, I have a potential jury duty in 2 weeks. So I'll have to let you know if we end up having to cancel one and reschedule. Okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. It's Memorial Day week, that, you know, right after Memorial Day. So,
okay.
All right. I will talk to all of you next week. And until then, go out there, achieve more inspired results by being an author of change.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye, everyone.